This is Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. When it comes to cancer treatment, one size does not fit all. KRCU's To Your Health host, Brooke Hildebrand-Clubs, recently sat down with Dr. Ryan Fields, Associate Professor of Surgical Oncology at Washington University School of Medicine and the Siteman Cancer Center to discuss individualized cancer treatments, like the one that recently worked so well for President Jimmy Carter.
President Jimmy Carter's cancer treatment may be something a lot of our listeners have heard about. His melanoma was treated with a drug that ramps up the body's immune system. Because his brain and liver now show no sign of disease, people might think that drug is now the miracle cure for cancer. However, that's not really an accurate understanding of cancer biology. So, Dr. Fields, can you tell us more about how each person's DNA can be taken into account when determining the best cancer treatment?
Yeah, I mean, I think suffice to say we're in the midst of a revolution in cancer care, and that includes cancer diagnosis and treatment. And it used to be we kind of had three pillars of cancer treatment. It was surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. And by chemotherapy in that statement, I mean chemotherapy that's the kind that a lot of people are used to that is essentially a poison that just poisons the cancer quicker than it poisons the rest of the body, but has a lot of side effects, people losing their hair and being pretty sick, and it's not very specific to a particular cancer type or to a particular patient's cancer. Well, now we kind of have these two new, what I would call pillars of cancer treatment, and one of them is, just as you alluded to, is really gets at the genetics or the DNA of one person's cancer. And that means that a patient like Jimmy Carter, who has melanoma, will be treated differently than a patient with, say, a colon cancer. So it's cancer-specific, but it's also patient-specific, meaning if I had a melanoma versus Jimmy Carter's melanoma, they may be treated very differently because the DNA, the genetics of my melanoma would be different. So, you know, gone are the days where we would give a tumor sample to a pathologist and they would look at it under the old light microscope and give us all the information we could get. We still rely on that information quite a bit, but we can look one level deeper down to the molecular level, the DNA level, and that can help predict treatments that are going to work for patients. And these are typically much more directed or targeted treatments. They have a lot less side effects because they're really focused on one area of that tumor's genetics, and so they don't typically cause you to have the same your hair falling out and you getting real sick. They tend to affect the tumors specifically, and so that's just been a huge revolution in the genetics of cancer.
That's fantastic. So can you tell us a little bit more about, with these new pillars of cancer treatment, what does that look like, individualized? Give us an example of when a patient comes in to you, what their individualized treatment might look like.
Yeah, so a lot of patients, and I'll use an example of melanoma in a moment, but kind of in general terms, it means that we're sending off tumor biopsies for very advanced molecular and genetic testing. And that's not just us. When I say us, it's not limited to just the academic centers like WashU. This is pretty standard cancer care now that's being done all around the country and around the world. For melanoma in particular, more than half of melanomas have a mutation, a change in a gene called BRAF. And when they have that particular mutation, they're eligible for one particular drug that targets that mutation. If they don't have the mutation, the drug won't help them. If they do, it will. And so because of that, that's a great test that we can sort of say, okay, this is the therapy that's going to work for you. The other therapies that have kind of been this other pillar in the cancer treatment are the immune therapies, and that's the example of Jimmy Carter. So a drug that essentially, quote, releases the brakes off the immune system, mm-hmm. allows your own body to recognize your cancer and fight it. So side effects are much different. There are side effects related to more autoimmune type diseases and the immune system getting a little too excited and attacking your own cells, but those are very manageable side effects, much less in general compared to typical chemotherapy. And the exciting thing about the immune therapies is when they generally work for long periods of time. It's not common to throw out the term cure or remission for right. diseases like melanoma when they've spread, but we're starting to introduce those words into our vocabulary, which wow. is very exciting. And as you can imagine, President Carter in his 90s, he tolerated the treatment very well and was back to doing the things he wanted to do, teaching Sunday school. So there are therapies we can use in the young and in older patients and very effectively. So in practice, we do a lot of this advanced testing on a patient's tumor to be able to tailor the treatment to them, what people have called precision or personalized medicine, where your treatment is really not just a guideline that says do this. It's based on a lot of very important tests on your particular tumor.
And, you know, when you mentioned the immunology component of this, one of the things your research is pointing to are certain vaccines mm-hmm. that might help patients. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, people think when you use the word vaccine, they think of something like a measles vaccine or a polio right. vaccine that's going to prevent it from ever happening. Most of what we're talking about in this day and age is not necessarily a preventative vaccine, but a therapeutic vaccine that we'd actually use as part of their treatment. So what if you had an advanced cancer, could we use a vaccine strategy to boost your immune system and get it to fight the tumor? So could we take a drug like the one President Carter was on that kind of allows the immune system to do its job and then kind of teach it what it needs to fight against using a vaccine? So the analogy is the immune system's kind of suppressed by the cancer. We release that suppression with a drug and then give this vaccine to say, okay, go fight that, just like you would a flu shot, you know, fight that flu bug, fight that cancer cell. And the vaccine would be a very specific vaccine to each patient because the changes in the tumor that I have may be different than someone else's. The analogy is the flu shot changes every year based right. on the strains of flu. This needs to be that specific for a patient's individual cancer.
Wow. So you're saying that some of these things are already available, that they're already becoming the standard of care. What would someone who gets a cancer diagnosis today want to expect from their treatment based on these advancements?
Yeah. So, I mean, the diseases, especially if we focus on immune therapy, for example, where they've really become the standard of care are things like melanoma, renal cell cancer, or kidney cancer, and lung cancer, certain types of lung cancer. These immune therapies have really become standard treatments. And so there are tests that will be done on a patient's tumor when they come and see their oncologist that will direct the type of therapy they'll get from day one. And then that the idea is we can select the right therapy for the right patient that has the highest chance of working. And if it works, we continue those types of therapies. And again, with these immune therapies, often these responses are very long-lasting, durable responses with excellent quality of life, meaning if you saw somebody on one of these treatments walking down the street, you wouldn't look at them and think they were a cancer patient with advanced cancer when they're doing the things they want to do and that sort of thing.
Just that quality of life component
yeah.
is so amazing. I mean, we're so used to seeing folks who lose their hair, are, you know, so tired all of the time. And so it's really eliminating. Sometimes people almost say that the side effects are worse than the disease. And so that in itself is a great advancement.
It's been a huge advance, I think. Now, it's not the panacea. It's not the perfect
right.
treatment. There still are certainly side effects. And it's going to sound, people may take a deep breath when I sort of say this, but, you know, the response rates to a lot of these immune therapies is, you know, 30-40%, which to us are incredible because
right.
what we had 2 years ago, 5 years ago were things that were 1 or 2% effective.
Mm-hmm.
To most patients, most people would sort of say, well, 30-40%, there's a lot of room for improvement. We'd really like this to work 90% of the time.
Right.
And so that's really where the active research is right now. How can we improve the responses in certain cancer types and apply them to other cancer types? And even better, how can we predict which immune therapy is going to work best for which patient? Because now that we have several options, you'd really like to know up front, okay, can I order a blood test or test this patient's tumor and say, you're most likely going to benefit from this one or this combination? And that's really where people are really excited about where the research is moving.
Are there some cancers that don't seem to be responding to these new therapies?
Yeah, a lot of the therapies, what we know of right now that are responsive to immune therapies in particular, are ones that have a lot of mutations, a lot of changes in the genetic code. And those tend to be cancers that are exposed to a high degree of carcinogens or cancer-causing mm-hmm. agents, so lung cancer from cigarette smoke, typically melanoma from excessive UV exposure. And so those are the ones that really respond well because by definition, they've undergone a lot of changes, so they're foreign to the body if we can get the body to react to them. The cancers that are a little bit more challenging right now are things like pancreas cancer, brain cancer, glioblastoma, even colon cancer, for the majority of colon cancers, where there's just not a huge number of genetic changes. So that's where the idea of these vaccine strategies really mm-hmm. comes in. Can we take the smaller number of mutations and use a vaccine to really boost the immune response? Therapy in some of these other tumors to these very aggressive and cancers with fewer treatment options.
So are there any other new directions in research that you're seeing right now that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, one area of very active research is really on the diagnostic side and the sort of cancer screening and high risk patient sort of cohort. I mean, can we catch a cancer before it's even formed? So things like colon polyps or pre-malignant lesions, moles that are abnormal. Can we have a way of predicting those beforehand, catching them early and removing them or treating them before they turn into a more aggressive cancer? Can we pick up a signal in the body in a non-invasive way that's going to allow us to predict the formation of cancer? And so that's a real exciting area of research. And what's allowed that to really take off is it used to be it'd be really hard to pick out a very low-level signal in the blood, but a lot of the new genetic testing, a lot of the genomics applications where literally from a drop of blood, we can get that so much information because we can look so deeply into that has really changed that. So that, I think, is one of the more exciting areas of research, because if we could prevent the cancer from forming in the first place, it would obviously be much better than treating it later on.
Well, Dr. Fields, thank you so much for all of your great work, and thank you for coming to talk with us today here at KRCU.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was KRCU's To Your Health host, Brooke Hildebrand Club, and Dr. Ryan Fields, Associate Professor of Surgical Oncology at Washington University School of Medicine and the Siteman Cancer Center.